Today's Shir's Masechta, Baba Kama Daf Chafalof, we will begin in Daf Chaf Amud Beis, 15 lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues to discuss the issue that we've been discussing about Hadar B'chatzar Chaveroi, if somebody lives in somebody else's property, Shloi Midatoi, without his express consent, what is going to be the halacha regarding his obligation to pay rent or not? Sok the Gemara Itmar. If you live in such a property, you don't have to pay rent. You do have to pay rent. Amar Papa, to which Rav Papa makes the statement, this that we're learning, the Ravua says that he did not hear from Rabbi Yochanan directly. Rather, what happened was, he says, he heard Rabbi Yochanan say a psak, and that's why he assumed, based on that opinion, that that was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion regarding this. Because we know the halacha teaches us, the halacha of me'ila. The halacha of me'ila teaches us that if somebody takes something from Hegdish and takes it for himself, or somebody has benefit from something that belongs to Hegdish, that's called Mila Behegdish. If he did Mila Bemezid, the halacha is he gets Malkus, and he has to pay Hegdish for what he did Mila on. If he did it B'shoigig, he brings an Asham Mila, a carbon Asham, and he pays Karen the value of the what he took, and Chaimishin adds 20%. The Torah, when it speaks about Mila, Now that is a new issue. That is the issue of the person who did the Me'ila is the Gizbar, is the treasurer of Hegdish. How will that affect this situation? The Tanan, Notal, if the person who is the treasurer of Hegdish, Evan Akarishal Hegdish, took a stone or a beam that belongs to Hegdish, Hareza Lamal, it's not considered that he did Me'ila because he didn't take. What if it's still in his property, it's not really having been taken out of Hegdish. And only when he knew that he's taking something deliberately of Hegdish is it obviously going to be Me'ila. But here, he didn't recognize and realize that what he was taking was Hegdish. And since he didn't realize what he was taking belonged to Hegdish, so the halacha is it's not yet Hegdish. But now, Nosn Chaveroi, if he gives this beam to somebody else, and now that other person uses, now that other person has it, Hu Mal. Now it's considered as if the Hegdish did Mila, as Gizba did Mila, because he was the one that took it out of Hegdish and gave it to this individual. The Chaveroi, Loi Mal. But the person who he gave it to did not do Mila. And as we've learned many times, that even though the halacha is that ein shliach l'dvar veira, this is an exception to the rule. He's the one that gave it to that person, and he's the one that did Mila. Now, says the Mishnah there, Masechta the Mila daf yotes amud beis further, but on tech beis, so he took this beam and put it on his house, harez le'mol, it's not considered that he did Mila until he actually, it's not considered that he did Mila, Achi the Tachter, until he lives under the beam. Because only when he lives under the beam did he have Hano. So therefore, it's only considered that he Mila, Achi the Rezalamol, Achi the Tachter Shavapruta. He lived under the beam the amount of time that it's worth a Shavapruta. Vamashmu. And Shmuel says that we just learned, that it's not considered an act of Mila until he's under that beam for the amount of time that's equal a Pruta. It's only in a case, Fushanicha Piaruba. He didn't actually build it. He didn't do any work on that beam. He just placed it there. But if he did something to the beam, then that makes, even that, as soon as he does so, it's considered an act of Mila. continues the Gemara. V'yos Ravua kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Ravua was sitting by Rabbi Yochanan. V'kamed m'shmeid Shmuel, and he said in the name of Shmuel, Zoysa Meris. What we can learn from this Mishnah, Hadobah Chatzer Chaver Shloim Medatoi, if somebody stays in somebody else's property without his permission, Tzarch Lai Ha'elos Lai Schar. Because in this case, he was under the beam without Hegdish knowing. And yet, it's considered that he had benefit. But if you are in somebody else's property without knowing, the halacha will be that it's not considered as if you had any hanor. So what's the difference? That why would it ever be a shava pruta? V'shasaklei, and Rabbi Yochanan remained silent as this statement was made. So Iyu, Rabbi Avu is under the impression, midish savar, midish shasik, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan remained silent as he made this comment, moidalei, that must be Rabbi Yochanan is agreeing that you stay under somebody else's property, even without their permission, it's considered that you benefited, you have to pay for it. V'loihi, says the Gemara, the reason Rabbi Yochanan was silent, because he was completely ignoring him. Kedirava, because Rava says, the Amar Rava, Hegdish Shalai Medas, Hegdish is different than anything else. Hegdish Shalai Medas, even in a case where you didn't notify Hegdish, it's considered Midas Dami, as if the Hegdish was notified. It's not considered a case of Loi Medas. And Rashi explains, because Hegdish, what does Hegdish mean? That's the Shechina, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such a thing as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know. Since there's no such a thing when we speak about this to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know, so that's why it's always going to be considered Midas. Tosfos has a different approach. He says that by a person, there is certainly a possibility, which is actually the case that we have been primarily discussing, that I am in your property and you're now looking to rent the property, and therefore you don't care if I'm on your property. That's why it's considered zenena v'zelo chaser. But the fact, says Tosfos, that the Torah Kedoshah says that if somebody is moil behegdish, you're going to have to pay. So that means kaviyachol, that the hegdish does care. And since it means that the hegdish cares, so that's not considered a case of zenen of zelay chasr, because the hegdish obviously does care. Continues the Gemara, shalach le rab abba bav zavdal rab abba meri. Bominei rav huna. Ask rav huna, doba chatzer haveri shloi medas, the case that we're learning here, if I'm in your property without your permission, tzarech la'al sloi schar oiloi. Adahachi, says the Gemara, before Maribar had an opportunity to ask, Noch nafshid Rav Huna. Rav Huna passed away, but says the Gemara, so even though obviously they could not ask Rav Huna the question, Omle Rav Huna told them, Hachi Omar Abba Mori, this is what Abba Mori, my father Rav Huna, told me in the name of Rav, Einet Tzarech La'al Sashar. If you live in somebody else's property without their permission, you don't have to pay rent. And moreover, he said, if I rent a home from Reuven, I have to pay rent to Shimon. Says the Gemara, I don't understand what just was said. Shimon may have edited. If I rented a home from Reuven, why would I have to pay Shimon rent? Says the Gemara, Hachi Amar. This is what Rav Huna meant to say. If I rented a home from Reuven, under the impression that Reuven is the owner of this property. And then it turns out, Nimtza Bai Shel Shimon, it turns out that it's Shimon's property, Ma'al Lo Yischar. I have to pay Shimon the rent. Because, so ask the Gemara Tati, we've learned now two halachas that seem to be contradictory. First, we're learning that Rav Huna says, that somebody who lives in somebody else's property without his knowledge doesn't have to pay rent. And here, the Gemara is saying that if I'm living in Shimon's property, and Shimon obviously isn't aware, Shimon becomes aware, I have to pay him rent. How do we reconcile these two halachas? Says the Gemara, Hadakai Malagri, if the property is meant to be rented, So if it's meant to be rented, it's a case of zen nena v'zeh chaser. In a case of zen nena v'zeh chaser, you have to pay rent. Hadaloi kaim l'agro, it was not meant to be rented, so then the halach is, it's considered zen nena v'zeh chaser. And when it's a situation of zen nena v'zeh chaser, the halach is you do not have to pay rent. Et menami, it says the Gemara, so did we learn. Amr b'chi bar abin, amr rav. V'amalei amr b'chi bar abin, amr rav huna. Hado b'chatzar chaveri shloi medatoi, en etzarech lahalos loy schar. Says the Gemara further, v'asoicher buys from Nair. If somebody rents an apartment from the people of the city, malos chalabalam, he has to pay rent to the owner. So ask the Gemara, what does this mean? Why does what does this have to do with the city? Says the Gemara Hachkamer. What this means is like this. If somebody rented an apartment from people in a city, under the assumption that they are the owners of that apartment, and then Nimtzloy Balim, and then the true owners of the apartment were discovered, the halach is Ma'al Loy Schar. You have to pay them rent. So ask the Gemara the same question. Tarti, aren't these two halachas contradictory? To which the Gemara says, no. Hadakaim la'agra, if it's an apartment that's meant to be rented, so that's a case of zeh nena, zeh chaser, and therefore you have to pay the rent. Hadaloikaim la'agra, but if it's not meant to be rented, then you don't have to pay the rent. Amrav schar amrav, amrav, amrav skuna amrav huna amrav. If you live in somebody's property without their permission, you don't have to pay rent. And now the Gemara introduces a new consideration. Because the Pasuk says, v'shia yukash shor. So there's two pshatim in Rashi. One pshat Rashi says that a home that's left open is a place that attracts Shadim, attracts Mazikim. Another pshat that Rashi says, a home that's left abandoned is more likely to become decay. It's more likely that will become useless, says the Gemara. And therefore, by somebody living there, he actually is doing something very positive, because the person is preventing all these problems from the house. Amar bar Ravashi, l'di chazali, I saw the shade that inhabits a home that's empty, u'menagna kitura, and it does damage like an axe, says the Gemara along the same line. Rav Yosef amar beis miyatsva, a home which is inhabited, Yosef, will be fine. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, because if the home is inhabited, if something happens there, the people who are living there will know what to do to fix any problems. My Benayu, what's the difference between the reason that Rav Yosef gave and the reason Rav gave? Ik Benayu to come shtamish be betziva v'tivna. If you use it just as a warehouse to leave wood and straw there. If the reason is, then the halacha is because of shadim, then the halacha is that's fine. As long as it's used for any purpose, we need not be concerned about shadim. But if the reason is because if people are there, they're going to see what's going on in that home, that's only in a case where the home is inhabited, where people are there all the time, and if any problems develop, they're able to fix them. But if the issue is, but if it's just being used to store things, you're not there. So we just learned, Hadav b'chatzar chaver shloi medatoi, ein tzarech la'al eschar. What's the halacha that Achroinim discuss if somebody rents an apartment with the stipulation that I could live there, but there's a stipulation that I can't bring anybody besides my family there. Do you have to pay extra rent? So the Paiskim say as follows. Certainly, if by bringing extra people into the apartment, then the cost to the landlord goes up. That means, let's say the landlord pays the electricity, or the landlord pays for the water. So therefore, the cost is greater. And that's why, for example, if I take a room in a hotel, and the stipulation is that I'm going to be in the room alone, and then I bring other people into that room, so certainly that's not acceptable, because the more people in the room, there is more cost, more water, more electricity, etc. And in fact, the Nesivus in Siman Shin Samach Gimel Sif Katan Tes speaks about a case where I was given permission to live in a place for free, and then I brought other people, so now I'm going to have to pay. Because as I bring more people in there, the landlord assumed that I will be there alone. But if I'm bringing extra people, then maybe I should be held responsible, because the landlord was only willing to take that much on, but he wasn't willing to take any more than that on. And since he wasn't willing to take more than what we agreed upon on, then I'm going to have to pay extra. In fact, I saw a similar shaila in the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah, where somebody rented an apartment in a certain area, and what happened was that this person who has an apartment in this area gave it to a friend of his, and then the friend to whom he gave the apartment didn't need the apartment, so he gave it to his relatives. Now, the landlord of this apartment was willing to give me the apartment because I'm his friend, I'm his relative, but he isn't willing to give it to my friends and my relatives. So now the question that comes up, what is the halacha? And the landlord discovers that I brought into this apartment my friend and relatives, and he says, I was willing to give you the apartment, but not give it to someone else. My counterclaim is that, what's the difference if it's I'm going to be in the apartment or someone else is going to be in the apartment? You are obviously willing to give this apartment away for free for whatever amount of time we agree to. So the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah paskens that if the family that I gave the apartment over to is the same size family and the same age family as I am, then I could claim, what's the difference? You were obviously willing to give this apartment away for free for this amount of time, and therefore the halacha is, it's certainly a situation of zeh nena v'zeh lo chaser, and therefore he can't collect rent. But if the family that I gave the apartment to is larger size or different ages, so the wear and tear will not be identical by me as by him, so then he has a right to collect the rent. Again, speaking about this concept that we're learning about zeh nena v'zeh lo chaser, is I saw the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah also discusses a question. There is a house that is a house that's made up of condominiums, but there's somebody who lives on the bottom floor, and he wants to dig under his apartment and expand his apartment, that he should have a floor under the apartment that he has. Can the other people stop him? Because this ostensibly is a case of zeh nena v'zeh lo chaser. Zeh nena v'zeh lo chaser is that I am having benefit, that I'll be able to expand my apartment, and the other people couldn't have lived in that area anyway. Because if the only way to access that apartment is by only from my apartment, and nobody else could have been able to get to that area that's under my apartment, that is a concept of zeh nena v'zeh lo chaser. Not only is it nanav zolei chaser, the Paiskim introduce another consideration, and that is kaifer al midas adoyim. We protest someone who wants to act like stoyim, stopping me from being able to build an apartment in a place where you have nothing to lose. So obviously we're speaking about a case where it won't affect the building by building this apartment under the building. And nobody in this building, nobody could have gotten to this area. It's zeh nenev zolei chaser. Not only is zeh nenev zolei chaser, but it's also kaifer al midas adoyim. However, in a case where people who live in the building could have gotten access to that area, and everybody who lives in this building owns the property on which the building is built. So now, since everybody in this property could have gotten to that space under my apartment, so they have full-fledged ownership on that area. And since they have full-fledged ownership under that area, they're not obligated to give me free permission to be able to be there, and therefore their halacha is that I will have to get their permission. Not only what will I have to get their permission, but moreover, if they want to get payment for that permission, the halacha is that I'll have to get permission to do this. So now that we introduced this concept of kaifer ma'anus adayim, so the Rishonim discuss that if somebody owns a vacant apartment, which is not for rent, so not only based on what we're learning in our Gemara of zeh nenev zolei chaser, that he can't demand rent from a squatter, he kaifer al ma'anus adayim teaches us that the right thing to do is to allow people to live in that apartment. Tosfos, the Ramaskel on Chafam Beis, the Ramaskel Asanis, disagrees. He says that even though there's a concept of Zen Nenev Zalai Chasser, and there's a concept of Kaifer Amoidus Sadoim, since explains he's not obligated to give away his apartment. He says, refusing to tell, even though I'm not looking to rent my apartment, I'm not obligated to give my vacant apartment to people for free. And explains the Brikas Avraham, because when I give my apartment away, there's always a chance that this squatter or this person who's living there is going to do damage to the apartment. And therefore, the Nachlas Tovid, quoting Rav Chaim Volozhin, says that if he lived there and he didn't cause damage, then the landlord can't collect rent, but he's not obligated to make it available to people for free. Moreover, if the Torah says that if the owner told people that even though he's not interested in renting out that apartment, but he told people, I don't want you to move in, or he saw people living there, he told them to move out. So even though the people who were living there, because of the concept of Zen Nenev Zolei Chaser, he can't collect rent from them, but once he notified them, I want you to vacate this apartment, if they don't vacate the apartment, from that point on, he's entitled to collect rent. Says the Gemara, Hu Gavra, the Bona Fanda, Akilkla Diyasmi. There was somebody who built a mansion on top of a garbage dump that belonged to Yisoyman. Agve Rav Nachman lefanda minei. Rav Nachman caused him to pay back for the right that he took to build that mansion. Lema kusav Rav Nachman. So the Gemara assumes that why did Rav Nachman do so? Because he held hadav b'chatzer b'shloim medatoi. If you live in somebody else's property without their permission, tzorch la'al slischa, you have to pay rent. And therefore, here, they had no right to build themselves this mansion without his permission. Says the Gemara, from that case, we don't have a raya. Because that case, hahu, that property, mikara karmanoi havidoyrish bay. Originally, people from the city or from the place called Karmanoi lived there, and they used to pay the assignment davamut, a small amount of money every year. So that means the assignment were collecting rent from that property. Vamalei. So now Rav Nachman told these people who live there, Zilpai Sein Eliasmi, go try to make some sort of an arrangement with these Yisaimim, V'lei Ashgach, and they didn't pay it, and they refused to do what he was told. Agbei Rav Nachman Lefan V'nei. And because he refused, before they refused, where they had no right to just build something on their property without permission, so that's why he made them pay. But I saw a very interesting point here. Throughout Shas, the Chashuk Yechemed makes this point. He says throughout Shas that we know the halacha is that we, Bezdin, Chazal, take very great interest in protecting the rights of Yisoymim. So if we think about this case, here they wanted to do a deal with the Yisoymim to make them satisfied, just even though it wasn't necessarily going to get the whole value. And this is the basis of a din in Shulchan Aruch, Choshe Mishpat Simen Yud Bey Sif Yud Gimel. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mutar Lebezdin, Levater, B'mamen HaYisoy Mechutz Medin, the Bezdin is allowed to give up money that Yisoyimim are entitled to, Kedei Lahashkitam Merivos, in order to avoid any machloikus. And the Maram Shik, in Shas Chuvas Maram Shik, Yeridei Simen Reish Lamed Hei, says that if there was a case where somebody was left his house over to Aniyim, to poor people, and the Amana of that person wants to have the Tzavo nullified, so even though there's a hard and fast Tzavah, and in a din Torah, the halacha should be that she would lose the din Torah. Still, teaches us the Maram Shik and the Pesach Tshuva all saying that that's what the Shulchan Aruch means, and they say that's what our Gemara means. That even in a case where we're dealing with people who the halacha normally protects their right very strongly, in order kedei lahashkit merivus, in order to avoid dispute, the halacha says that we're even allowed to give up rights of Yisoyimim and others, all for the intention to avoid machlokes. So the Mishnah said that Ketzim Mishalemes Mashanenis, when is there a halacha that if an animal ate, it pays for what it benefited from? If she ate from Toicha Rechava, from the middle of the street. But Mitzida HaRechava Mishalemes Mashazika. So the Gemara brings a machloikus amaroyim in the explanation of what our Mishnah means. Says the Gemara, Amarav. Says the Gemara, what we learned in our Mishnah, that if the animal ate from the side of the road, she pays for what she benefited, that's talking about the machseris. Even if the animal is actually on the road, which as we keep on learning in our shir, the road is where she's allowed to be, or the machseris, and she turns her face towards the tzideh rechava, that the halacha is that in such a case she has to pay. Some explain to the machlokes rishonim what is the reason for paying. Rashi seems to learn that this is keren because it's a mishona. It's not your normal case where an animal is walking and turns its head. The Ri says that it's normal and therefore it's considered a situation of shame. Because since the animal is in the Rishus HaRabim, and we keep on learning in our Shiurim that an animal has every right to walk in the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore when the animal is walking in the Rishus HaRabim and eats, it's not considered a mazik. So in this case too, since the animal is primarily in the Rishus HaRabim, she's potter. So ask the Gemara, but we learned in the Mishnah. But see that Rechava. Mishalem is Masha Zika. Ask the Gemara. L'shmul heich mishkach slon machayiv. What will be that situation? answers the Gemara, it's in a case, Kishkoshi after the Rechava, the animal walked away from the main road, for Oslo Kama, but see their Rechava, went to the place on the side of the road, and therefore that's a place which is not considered Rishus Rabbim. So the halacha that you don't pay for shame Rishus Rabbim doesn't apply to that location. And therefore she has to pay Masha Zika, she has to pay for her damages. Vika de Masala Shmat Bafnei Ashmai. Some say this machlokes of Rav Shmuel is not connected to the Mishnah. It's an independent situation. The Gemara says, what is the halacha of machzeres, of an animal that's standing in the main thoroughfare, but turns its head and eats food that's on the side of the main thoroughfare? Rava Machayeves, Shmuel Mepetura. Ask the Gemara if that's the case, Lashmuel, this that we learned in our Mishnah. Mishalem Smasha Zika, Heichi Mishkachsot Machayeva. When will we be chai for eating what's on the side of the road? Answers the Gemara, to go into Shachfil Rechava, in a situation where the animal walked off the main thoroughfare, Vazl V'achl B'tzidei Rechava. Moser Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak asks on Rav, because it says, V'pesachanus, if the animal ate from what's in front of the store, B'shalemes Meshanenes, she only pays for what she benefited. Heich Mishkachsla, what is that case? Pshita, isn't that the case? A Machzeres. Isn't that a case of Machzeres? The Kummer. And what did the Tanis say in that situation? That you only pay Mashanenis. Mashanenis in. You only pay as much as the food was worth, as we discussed in our previous year. Mashazika loy. So what did Rav say? Asked the Gemara de Machzeres. You pay Mashazika. Answers the Gemara. Hu Moiselavu Mefarkla. Rav Nachman Yitzchak was the one that asked this question. And he gives an answer. The Kaima Bekeren Zovis. We're speaking about a narrow alleyway, that as you come to the narrow alleyway, the store stands in a corner. And since the core stands in a corner, when the animal walked from the bigger mavi into the smaller mavi, it bumped right into those fruits that were in the front of the store and didn't have to do machzeres. In a case where it didn't do machzeres, Rav will agree that this is a case of Shem B'Shus HaRabim. Shem B'Shus HaRabim, you only pay Masha Zika. Ikadami, Machzeres, in a case of Machzeres, Kula Amaloi Pligi, the Chayavis. Since it ate the food from the side of the road, everybody, in turn, and it ate fruit that was in a place where it's not supposed to eat from, the fruit was not in B'Shus HaRabim, even Shmuel will agree, Yechayiv. Keep plaguey, but makatsa mogam Rishus Rishus Rabim. You have somebody who has property next to Rishus Rabim, and he distances his home from the Rishus Rabim, and he gave more space to the Rishus Rabim, and on that space that really is property that he owns, he put fruit, and the animal who's walking Rishus Rabim ate that fruit. Vachyet ma'amarav loyshana. El b'machzeres, when do you pay for damages b'machzeres? Av makatsa mokam shus rabim, if you gave up from your space, from your area, to shus rabim p'tura, because that's, once you gave up from your space, that's considered chamber shus rabim, which is potter. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, afil makatsa mokam shus rabim, if you gave up space from your area to the Shus Rabim, Yechayavis. Says the Gemara, should we suggest the Lame of Barber Shusukim Mefagi, that the Mismachloikis that we're learning now is connected to Machloikis Tanoim, that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, on Daf Mem Tesa Mebeis, regarding someone who dug a bar in his property, and then he took the area around that bar, and he was mafka that area. But the bar itself, he was a mafka. Rabbi Kiva says that bar is still his, and if if an animal falls into that bar, he shall be held responsible. Rishmol says that since the area around the bar is hefker, you won't be chayiv. So says the Gemara. Presumably, Rav Dama Potter, Rav that says that when you give up from your space to Shus HaRabim, and an animal ate from fruit that's there, you potter, says the Gemara. Barber Shusachayev. So this person, the bar that was built in your property, Yechayev. So even though this person built his, put his Paris in a place which is designated for Shus Rabim, it's as if he made a bar in the Shus Rabim. And if you made a bar in the Shus Rabim, you're potter. Because only when it's in your Rishus that you're going to be Chayev. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is like this. This person put his bar, put his fruit in a place which belongs to the Rishus Rabim. If an animal would have slipped there, for example, says Rashi, then this person would have been held responsible. And we learned that Kol HaMekalkim Rishus Rabim, if somebody does something in the Rishus Rabim that causes damage, you are Chayev. And somebody that does something in that area will not be held responsible because you shouldn't have made the bar. And if you put your fruit in an area that you gave over to the Rishus Rabim, so the halach is that you made a bar. And if somebody eats from those peiris, the animal in this case, he won't be chayiv. Shmuel chayiv, so the bar b'shutse potter. He says he had every right to put his peiris there. Why do you have every right to put his peiris there? Because that area belongs to him. And since that area belongs to him, and he had every right to put his peiris there, if the animal ate those peiris, he will be chayiv. So amul chrav. Sraf says, I will really tell you that only in Rishus HaRabim is a bar considered a bar. This is not Rishus HaRabim. Shani Hacha. But this case, what is different? Why does Rav say that if you put fruit in this area the animal and the animal ate it, you won't be chayiv? Damar, because the owner of the animal could say, you had no right to put your fruit so close to Shus Rabim that my animal will want to eat that fruit, and then Mechayv Shel Teroi, and then you'll hold me responsible. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel will tell you, Alma Bar B'Shus Chayiv, a bar in your property is Chayiv. Since you were mafka the area around the bar, that's considered that's your bar, because if everybody can walk there, it's considered you made a bar. By bar, you could say the animal didn't pay attention, and therefore the animal doesn't have the intelligence to pay attention. And if you made a bar, you will be held responsible. You can't say that the animal didn't see the pears, and you should have been careful. And if the animal falls on them, the person who put it there will not be chayv. So we spoke a moment ago about machzeres, where animals walking with Shus Rabim, but it turns its head to eat from fruit that's on the side. So suggest the Gemara lema machzeres tanoi. Maybe this is the subject of machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us achla if the animal ate mitoicher chava from what was in the middle of the road. B'shalemus mashanenis. That's the din of shein b'shus harabim. It's not considered a mazik, but you do pay for the fruit that it ate. If it ate mitzidei chava, b'shalamis masha hezek, divrei Ramei Rabbi Yehuda. That is the opinion of Ramei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Beleza Oimrim, ain't daka elach lahalich. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. But basically, since it doesn't walk normally there, it doesn't eat normally there, it just walks there. So if it ate there, it's going to be held responsible. So ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're understanding Rabbi Yosef and Tanakama, so they're all agreeing that if the animal ate mitzidei rechava, they have to pay masha zika. So what is the machlokes? Says the Gemara, we're going to have to say the machlokes is regarding machzeres ikvenayu. Tanakama sava machzeres nami mshalemus mashananis. Since the animal standing in the Rishus HaRabim, even though it turned its head to eat what's on the side of Rishus HaRabim, but since it's standing in the Rishus Rabim, it only pays Mashananis. Rabbi Yossi Sov Mishalamis Mashazika. So the Gemara is suggesting that this discussion that we'll be having about Machzeris is actually Machlokes Tanoim. Says the Gemara, Loi, it could well be the Kol Alma, everybody's agreeing, Machzeris Ikarav Ikishmul. Either the Alok is like Rav that says Machzeris is Chayiv, or like Shmuel says Machzeris is Potter. For Hocher, the machloikas that we're having in this brisa is a different question altogether. The Torah Akdosh, when it speaks about shame, describes it v'yibestei achar kamifkin masov v'yibestei achar v'loy b'rishus rabim. As long as it's only in rishus rabim, a masover v'yibestei achar v'loy b'rishus hamazik. That if the nizik put his fruits into the property of the mazik, then he won't be held responsible. But shame b'rishus rabim is not potter. Says the Gemara, I don't understand why we would need a pasuk to tell us that if the animal ate, if somebody put fruits in the Rishus HaMazik, and then the Mazik's animal ate it, why should the Mazik be responsible? Why wouldn't we need a pasuk for that? Leva Perek Rishus HaMeibari, you should have not put your fruit here. Ella, Dilfer Rabbi Sheik Benayu. The Machloikus is as follows, that a Gemara that we learned on Daf Chof Amar Aleph, where an animal is in Rishus HaRabim, and there's another animal in Rishus HaRabim, and the animal ate fruit that was on top of the other animal. Are you chayiv or not? Ilfa held that the back of my animal is considered Rishus HaNizik. And since it's considered Rishus HaNizik, then he's chayiv. Rabbi Yishia says that it's considered Keren, it's Mishuna. And now the Gemara says, according to Rameyer, even in these cases, even if it jumped on top of another animal, and according to Rabbi Yossi, like Ilfa Rabbi Yossi taught us, this is going to be considered unusual, and even it's going to be chayiv for Karen. Says the Mishnah, a dog or a goat that jumped off the roof to Rishus HaYochid, the Shavras of Kalim, and they broke Kalim, which are over there in the Rishus HaRabim, Mishalim, in the Rishus HaYochid, the Shavras Kalim, Mishalim, Nezek Shalim, they pay Nezek Shalim, it's considered regal, Neshul Ma'adim. That's something usual for an animal to do, and therefore you pay for regal. Another halacha, which we discussed, HaKalv Shanat L'Charora, if a dog took a biscuit that was being baked on top of coals, and sometimes a coal will attach itself to a biscuit. Volach l'gadish, and he went to a place with his grain. Volach l'charora, and he ate the biscuit over there, and because there's a coal attached to that biscuit, vidlik l'gadish, it caused the grain to go on fire. The loch is al acharora mishalom nezek shalem. For the biscuit he pays nezek shalem. V'al acharora mishalom chatzi nezek. And we're going to learn, is it because of tzroiris, or is it because of mishuna, because of cheren that's unusual? Says the Gemara, the reason that they have to pay nezek shalem is the kafsu, they jumped. And that's usual for animals to jump. Hanaflu, but if they would have fallen down, potter, you would be potter. Why? Because that's unusual. Al-Mukasavar, we see that the Tan of this Mishnah holds, Tchelosav Pshia, the owner obviously was not adequately washing his animal. The Seif HaBoinus, and then an accident happened because they weren't washing properly, and the animal fell off the roof. We learn from our Mishnah, it seems that you're potter. And the Gemara now begins a sugya, what is the halacha by Tchelosav Pshia of the Seif HaBoinus? Talin HaMihochi, says the Gemara, Brisa says, "Akelv Agdish Kafsam Rosh Agog." If a dog, a goat, jump off the roof, a shavras a kalim, the shalom nazik shalim, because that's usual. So that's mood of keren. That's keren, which is always a mood, not a regal. I mean, which is always a mood. Naflu, but if they fell off, which is unusual, the halacha is peturim, the potter. And the Rashba says it seems that potter means that they're entirely potter, because they would have to pay chatzi nezek, the brisa should have said so. And the reason is, because it was t'chlas of a pshi of a seif b'aynas. So ask the Gemara, ha nichla man damit t'chlas of a pshi of a seif b'aynas potter, so we could understand this brisa. But ask the Gemara, l'man damit t'chlas of a pshi of a seif b'aynas is chayiv, Michael Amemer, how do we understand this brisa? Answers the Gemara, ki goin makavri kailam b'kabekaisel. He's going to explain that the Braisa, and actually the Mishnah, are speaking where the Nizik put his kalim right next to the wall on which the dog and goat are standing. The kaftsi le'nafli elayu, that even in this case, if they're going to jump, they wouldn't have normally broken the kalim. Because when you jump, you don't fall right where it fell. So here, atfilo t'chlos v'pshia leka, it's not considered t'chlos v'pshia, because even I didn't watch that my animal should be not jumping or falling, I didn't have to worry it's going to break kalim, because the kalim are in a place that if they're going to fall or jump, they're not going to hit the kalim anyway. Says the Gemara, Amar of Zvid Mishmei Derava Pamim, there are cases, afilo naflu, even if the dog or goat fell, chnami chayiv, the owner will be held responsible. When will that be the case? Shmekachsla b'kaisla ruwa. Since the wall is a weak wall, he should not have let his animal be on that wall. My new, says the Gemara, the boiler of suke date, he should have assumed the nafli archi, that since this wall is so weak, bricks are going to fall off, and they're going to break what's in the chotzer. But says the Gemara, so that's something you should have paid attention. But that's not what happened. The bricks didn't fall. He should have been concerned that his bricks are going to fall and break and destroy the fruit. But the bricks didn't fall. What happened was the animal fell. So why is this not considered for the animal falling? And it says the Gemara, it's a very narrow wall. And therefore, since it's a very narrow wall, so even though normally an animal falling off the wall is something that is an oinus, you don't have to assume the animal is going to fall off the wall. That's on a regular size wall where there's enough room for the animal to walk. But if the wall is very narrow, we can't assume that the animal, you can't assume that the animal is not going to fall off. Therefore, it's not considered chilos b'shia for soifer bonus. It's considered p'shia throughout. And since it's considered p'shia throughout, that's where you can understand why the owner of this dog or goat would be held chayiv.